We started a series 3 weeks ago talking about what if. Everybody say, what if? And we started asking some poignant questions, some direct questions to get you to start thinking. First, we talked about, what if we would just recognize that Jesus is here? And we would drop all the things that we think are so important, and we would look at Jesus and spend time with him. Remember, we talked about Mary and Martha and how Martha got so busy. And then last week we talked about what if we looked at our work as not just a job, not just something that we had to do, something, we said this, what if we looked at work as worship? Or to say it like this, we said like this, what if we looked at work as an assignment given to us by God that we would be able, what the Bible says, that him who stole, steal no longer, but let him work with his hands in order that he might have something to give. Could it be that, and I'm being facetious here, could it be that our job is to fund the work of the gospel? Could it be that our job, when we go to work, our job, what we're going to work, is that we don't have to steal from anybody, but that we can make some money that we could be able to give and fund the kingdom of God? And watch this. And could it be that God is twofold? How many know we talked about last week? God wants us all to be productive. Oh, you missed a good time to shout amen, somebody. See, we live in a society where can I be honest with somebody? We live in a society when a lot of people just, the goal is to stay at home, watch TV, and eat Doritos. Am I telling the truth? Okay. And last week, and let me tell you what, these questions, the question I'm going to ask tonight, very poignant, very straight up, very depth charge question, going to make us really think about what's going on. But last week, let me tell you what, if you missed last week, let me remind you, the goal isn't, you are designed to produce. God wants you. God is not into sluggardness. He's not into laziness. He's not into slothfulness. He hates that. Because you weren't designed to do any of those things. And here's what I said. You say, yeah, but Pastor, I can't. Listen, I don't think you all can work like you used to be able to work when you were 24. I didn't say that. But it doesn't make any difference what kind of disability you have. You know what? If you will look, God will have a plan for you to be productive. Everybody can be productive. Amen? Amen. So, and God wants you to be productive in order not only to build the kingdom of God, but to put you in a place where you're around people to influence, where you're around people that you can be an influence. So, Pastor, I hate my job. I'm around all these non-Christians. Hello? That's exactly God's plan, amen? He has strategically put you in the right place. So stop complaining about being around non-Christians. Start to not act like them, amen? Start to not complain like them, amen? Start to not whine like them, amen? Stop whining about your job and start thanking God about your job. Amen? Your job is a blessing that you might be able to have something, you'd be able to provide for your family and be able to have something to give. That's God's design. And second, that you would be able to also be a witness of people around you. Amen? Amen. Tonight I want to talk to you about what if, are you ready for this? What if I chose trust over control. Wow. You got real quiet. Okay, you know what? How many of you recognize your propensity to want to control everything in your life? Raise your hand if that's you. Okay. And if your hand's not up, I don't know if you're telling me the truth right now. Amen. How many of you recognize there's a bent that you and I have that we want to control everything? Thank you. Thank you. I'm getting some more honesty. That's just how we are. But let me tell you what that's about. That's how part of you are. But that's not how the God part of you is. I know that's not proper English, but that's good theology. Good theology. That's not who... Listen, there's a part of you that it's... If you're born again, if you're a Christian, there's part of you and you want to put your trust in God. And you want to put your trust in other people. But because how many have been let down by someone? Okay. And you watch this, and you get let down by someone, and you start to get disappointed, and you listen, and you start to get insecure. You know what control is a sign of? Wow, I'm sorry to be so direct on this one, but it's hard. I knew it was going to be hard to preach this and not step on some toes. So, but we need to locate what's really going on. Your need to control stems from insecurity in your life, and you've been hurt. And you've been disappointed, and talking about Sunday service, the subject we're talking about Sunday, and you're walking in fear. And so what you do is you compensate, or what you really do is you overcompensate, and you think that you're going to not be hurt by trying to take control of every situation. So you're trying to create a room with no sharp edges. And that's really what you're trying to do. But you're really setting up your life for a lot of frustration, not only on your part, but the part of others. Let me ask some easier questions. How many ever, and if you're sitting next to this person, do not reveal this, okay? I do not reveal this. But how, make it easy. How many ever been around someone who is very controlling? Raise your hand if you've been around somebody who's very, I'm not saying that's the person next to you, I'm just saying. See, we all have been around. And let me ask you, and does it drive you crazy? Listen, how many know it's hard to be around someone who's controlling about everything? Is it not?
Yes.
Okay. And all I'm just right out of the gate from the start, I just want to graciously tell you this is a battle that you're not going to win by the way that you're acting. The problem is that there's this insecurity going on, and you think that you're going to protect yourself by trying to make all the edges, put bumpers on all the edges. And listen, and it's not going to happen. And what you're going to do is you're going to drive, listen to me, you're going to drive people close to you away from you. And you're not going to help yourself. It's a life of incredible frustration. And listen to me. And as you are driving people away, the whole time you're deceived in not understanding even why you're driving people away. And you're doing that. And the only way you're going to fix it is by first recognizing what's happening and why it's happening, and start to ask God to help you. Start to ask God to comfort you. Jesus heals the brokenhearted. Start to pray that he would heal. Father, thank you that you're my healer, that you're going to heal my broken heart. And start to recognize the peace of God that surpasses all understanding would comfort your heart and your minds, that you can kind of back away and recognize that what you're doing is wrong. Wrong. Let's say that. Wrong. Say it. Wrong. Okay. It's wrong. And here's the thing. It's going to hurt you. You're hurting people around you, and you're going to hurt yourself. And there's no need for it. There's no need for it. But here's why. Because the chastisement of your peace was put upon Jesus Christ, the Bible says in Isaiah. So you don't have to be, you don't have to. You can relax, and ultimately, and I'm getting way ahead of myself, but ultimately, you know who you need to put your trust in? You need to trust others, but ultimately, you need to put your trust in God. You need to put your trust in God. You know what I mean? And you can put your trust in God. All right, so let's break it down. Can we break it down a little bit? All right, so Proverbs chapter 3, and you know this. We have it up on the screens for you. Proverbs chapter 3, starting with verse 5. Of course, I'm reading on the New King James. Trust in the Lord. Let's say that together. Trust in the Lord. See, ultimately, our trust needs to be in the Lord. Trust in the Lord, watch this, with all your heart. You know what your heart is? Your heart is the center of who you are. When the Bible talks about the heart, it's talking about who you really are, the center of who you are. So the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all your heart. Ever say with all your heart? Okay. And these words are really important. Watch this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. Okay. Now say it like this. Help me. Memorizing, this helps you memorize things, but it helps you to dig it deeper or drive it deeper. So you know, get your hands out. Everybody get your hands out, okay? And say it like this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. How many know most of us aren't as smart as we think we are? Oh, come on, somebody. How many ever done something and you think after you do that, man, why did that was dumb? Thank you for your honesty. How many recognize, man, we do dumb stuff every single week, amen? Every single week we do dumb stuff. I remember we were in, it's going to be hard to describe this to you because for many of you, you just haven't been here long enough. But way back in the day, we were the most people that were in our Wednesday Bible study was like maybe, I don't know, really maybe 10 people. And so we had that Bible study in one of the back rooms, one of the very back rooms. And in this room, it was what used to be our coffee house, that little back room. And in that back room were these, it was old school, but there was these glass louvers. So I don't know if you remember, you could open them up and then go up like this, but they were all glass. And glass windows, exactly. But there were these louver things, and you cranked it. And, I don't know what the design was for, actually, but whatever. That's what we had. And so we were gonna make that a cry room. That was going to be the overflow. So if you came and you had little kids, you don't. How many know some moms don't want to give up their kids to the nursery, especially when they first come here to this church? So we had a cry room in the very back, and we put double pane glass in there so it would be real soundproof. And then we put a speaker so they could hear the sermon, but we couldn't hear your little angel crying. I'm in a hope we love kids. Amen. I'm serious. That's part of it's been our mentality from day one that kids and youth are not secondary, they're primary. And so we saw that room and we said, no, these kids are important, but the moms need to hear the word. So we didn't have a lot of money, but we bought some double paint, we bought a double pane glass, but first we took the louvers out. We took all that out. So there was this just big hole there, right? And then, of course, that was that door there, too. Remember the door? So we were having Bible study, and there was somebody in another room, and they were kind of being loud. And you know what I told them to do? And the door was cracked open. And here's what I said. I said, hey, shut that door. You know what I mean? Why was that so silly? Because the window with louvers are out, the window's wide open. What? It's like, ah. Hello? You know what? You ever been walking around? Maybe you have your keys or your Bible. Man, where's my Bible? Where's my Bible? Hey, honey, have you seen my Bible? You ever had keys in your hand? The other day I was looking for the keys. It's true. I'm looking for my keys. I'm looking all over. You know where my keys were? They were in my hand. So, Pastor, how could you be so dumb? I don't know. It comes really easy for me. I'm just talented at it. But here's what I'm saying. But we've all done stuff like that. The problem is we're a legend in our own mind. The problem is. Isn't that we're dumb? I'm not trying to offend anybody. We all need some. It's that we don't recognize how dumb we are. That's harsh, I know. But that is the problem. How many know God's ways are higher than our ways? So the Bible, look, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean on into your own understanding. Somebody help me out with the emotions. Trust the Lord with all your. Listen, 3 days from now, something is going to happen. The Holy Spirit is going to go. Remember? Help me out. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean on into your own understanding. You know what? That's what we need to do. We need to trust in the Lord with all our heart, and we need to lean on into our own understanding. And you know what? And here's the problem. And we have that in our life. Watch this. We have that in our life. And then we transpose that to everybody else's life. So watch this. Not only do I know, you know what the Bible says in James? It says, why you do this? Why you go into, you know, it's like, man, you are just, how many know sometimes we're talking too much? How many know we talk too much? The Bible says be slow to speak. You know, aren't you glad? Why do you think God gave you 2 ears? 1 mouth. Man, that's a good ratio, amen? We probably ought to listen twice as good as we talk, right? But watch this. How many know sometimes we not only think we know everything good for our life, but then we transpose our mucho inteligencia. George, don't let anybody tell you I'm not bilingual because they don't know what they're talking about. That's right, okay? Listen, if they think I'm not bilingual, they're loco. In el cabeza, amen? I'm just saying, amen? Right? Right, Edgar? They know. You know. What was I saying? Loco. Yeah, Pastor, yeah, loco. Okay. Anyway, moving right along, I'm saying that what happens is not only do we recognize that we know everything, how to run our own life, but then we transpose that to others. Oh, I know. James says, why are you saying all this stuff? Oh, we're going to do this tomorrow. We're going to do this tomorrow. We're going to go here. We're going to make all this money. Blah, 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 blah. And he says, shh, what you ought to say. He's saying the same thing that he said, that the author of Proverbs is saying. Why are you doing that? What you ought to say is, if the Lord wills. That's what you ought to say. But we not only think about it in our own life, then we start correcting everybody else. We think, you know what? Well, let me tell you, if you just did like this, if you just did like this, if you just did like this, here's a thought. If that's so good, why don't you just do it for yourself? Amen? Genesis chapter 16, again up on the screens, Genesis chapter 16, starting with verse 1. Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. Next verse. So Sarah said to Abraham, see now. I mean, the Bible says, you know what? The walk, that the just shall live by faith and not by sight. Amen. No, because I know, because I saw and I felt, and I know because I. Let me tell you what. You take all your senses, your hearing, your sight, all your intelligence, and you throw it all in one pile, and it won't even start to even touch the wisdom of, even just a little bit of wisdom of God. But what's she doing? See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. And Abraham indeed, you know what? Heeded the voice of Sarah. Big mistake. Big mistake. What's he trying to do? And here's what we do. We start to try to manufacture the miracles of God in our life. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. What do we need to do? We need to be anxious for nothing. We need to not think that we are going to help God. How many know God needs no help walking in the supernatural? See, you know what help he needs? He needs you to lean on into your own understanding. He needs you to trust what he's speaking to your heart and not get anxious to force something to happen. How many know you can put a square peg in a round hole? Yeah, you can. Absolutely, you can. Yes, you can. You just get a big enough hammer, and I guarantee you can get it through. And that's what she's doing. And he's following right along. Hey, listen. Listen, don't allow other people to influence you in the wrong way. You hold your ground. You say, no, 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 no. No, Sarah, that's not what we're going to do. Take a leadership role. Just because somebody comes up with a good idea, you know what I mean, doesn't mean it's God. And it can even make sense to your mind. This made sense. Yeah, good idea. Good idea. No, bad idea. Bad idea. All right, so let me ask three questions that will help you tonight. Three questions that will help you tonight. One, is it worth my concern? Is it worth my concern? You know, sometimes we get so particular on a certain way to do something. Hello? Yeah. No, you don't understand. You need to do it like this. You know what? No, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it like this. It needs to be like this. It's like, really? Really? How many know so many of the things that you are so controlling over other people has nothing to do with what's a better way? It just has to do with tomato or tomato. You know what I mean? I mean, how do you say it? You know what? Is it? I mean, people get, you know, what is it? Is it caramel? Do you put caramel on your ice cream? Or do you put caramel on your ice cream? How many put caramel on your ice cream? Raise your hand if you put caramel. Raise your hand. How many put caramel on your ice cream? Okay. It's the same thing. Right? But people will, you know, no, it's caramel. No, it's caramel. No, it's caramel. It's caramel. You know what I mean? How do you spell theater? You understand what I'm saying? I mean, people will fight over, you know, and it's like, oh my goodness. What, you know what, listen, isn't our life too short?
That's right.
You know what? Somebody wants to skip. The other person wants to hop. Let the skippers skip. Let the hoppers hop. You know what I mean? Right? You know what? I mean, you know what? Listen, I mean, if you're a Dodger fan, you know what? Praise God. Amen. If you're an Angel fan, praise the Lord. You know what I mean? If you're a Rams fan, God help you. Right? Right? That joke used to be if you're a Raiders fan, but I can't say that anymore. But the whole thing is, really, we get so worked up over things that really don't make any difference. And for those of you who have an issue with this, which, believe it or not, is probably every single person in this room, you need to ask yourself, really? You need to start qualifying what you are insisting is a certain way. Because I would submit to you that a lot of stuff that you're driving people crazy about has nothing to do with, it just has to do with tomato or tomato. It really doesn't make any difference. Yeah, potato, potato. It just doesn't make any difference. Hello? Is somebody hearing God today? Did y'all come to learn? You know what I mean? Amen. Number one. Number two, just three questions. Number two, and I said this a couple different ways. Is this my mind to control? Is this mind to control? But then I said it another way. I don't know if you have it all. Then I said this because I recognize that's probably more harsh than I want to say it. I'd rather say it like this. Let me get the question first. Is it mind to control? Is it under, because Paul says there is a sphere of authority that he was given. Let me tell you what I'm not saying tonight. Here's what I'm not saying. Don't have this attitude. Oh, dude, nothing makes any difference. I mean, it's just like, it's cool. You know what I mean? Like you hear that saying, oh, it's all good. It's all good. It's all good. Hey, there's a lot of things that aren't good. And you have a sphere of influence. You have a sphere of responsibility that God has put you over, and you need to be, you're going to be held responsible for that sphere of influence. So I'm not suggesting that everything you say, oh, it don't make no, you know, oh, I went to a Bible study last night, pastor said, it don't make no difference, tomato, tomato, you know what I mean? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying ask yourself, because there's things that you're making a big deal out of, and you're driving people crazy, and you're driving you crazy, because it's a tomato or tomato issue, and I'm saying I love you, but you need to stop it. But there are other things that you are responsible for, and you need to pay attention. So first I said like this, is this mine to control? But then I recognized, thinking about the scripture, and what God, even if God has given you responsibility, even if he's given you that sphere, this mentality, is it mine to control? This is just a bad word. I think it conveys a really not a biblical understanding of what God would have you to do, even if you are responsible for a certain situation. Okay, let me say it better like this. Is this my responsibility? So I need to use my influence to lead in a godly direction. Do you hear the difference? You know, listen, you know what, I'm over you, so you need to, whoa. How many know that kind of attitude, even if I am responsible, you know what, for the worship team, how many know that is not the attitude I need to have? Hello, somebody. And a lot of times, you know what? People who are given responsibility, they take responsibility, but God doesn't expect you. He doesn't call you to lord over people. It's just not right. So my original statement was, I want to talk about what is your responsibility? But I changed the wording because I said, is it mine to control? Man, that's wrong wording. Here, listen how much better this sounds. And listen to the difference in our mentality. Is it mine to control? Or is it my responsibility, so I need to use my influence to lead people in a godly manner? Do you hear the difference? It is love. And listen, and that doesn't mean at times you need to say, you know what, today. Because let me tell you what, in this church, you know what my responsibility, you know what my responsibility in this church is? Everything. 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 So I go out and I look at the tables out there. You know, there's tables where they play volleyball. And then if you haven't seen them, we put new tables out. We created this whole atmosphere out there. Did some concrete work, put new tables. It's beautiful over there. If you haven't gone over there, go over there and look at it. It's gorgeous. But I went over there at 6 o'clock, and I took my finger, and I wiped one of the tables. And it was not a little bit dusty. I mean, completely dusty. So then I went to another table, and I did it again, and it was again. And every single table over there was absolutely just bad. Okay. How many know they're outside? That doesn't take a long time for them to get all messed up. So what did you do? Well, I didn't go in there, and I got two of the interns and one of the volunteers, and I just asked them to come here. You know what I mean? And I didn't get out there, and once I get in, I didn't lord over them. You know, what are you thinking? Don't you know we're supposed to have guests here? And how do you expect people to sit? You know, why? Because that's not gracious. Do you want people to be gracious to you? Yeah. However you measure it out, that's how it's going to be measured back to you. Now, listen, here's what I didn't do. I didn't sit there and go, it didn't make no difference. You know what I mean? I don't got time to be looking at these tables. You know, somebody else ought to do it. Or who cares? You know what I mean? I mean, you know what? You know, whatever. Get somebody to clean it up. You know what? No. Ultimately, I'm going to be held accountable to everything. And the intern program, we are training people to serve. Amen? We are training people to serve. Let's say that together. We are training people to serve. Listen, I talk about this all the time because here's why. It's my responsibility. Let me help you. Everyone needs to be serving in this church. Unless you're here for the first time. If you're here for the first time, I love you. So glad you're here. You know what? Be our guest. Chupapada, yada pa. Right? I wish I knew the words better, but I don't. You know what? That's my favorite Dizzy song, and I don't even know the words, but I like that. But really, if you're here for the first time, be our guest. If you're not here for the first time, you need to be doing something. Something. Paul says, How is it that you come and you don't have anything to give? And we all ought to be serving. And listen, I'm not as concerned what it is, but I am concerned, you know what, that everyone is serving. Everyone is doing something. Because it's absolutely critical to your spiritual development. Pastor, why do you get that? I get that right out of the Word. You were created for good works. Freely you have received, freely give. That's what the Bible says. Jesus, who is our example, said, I didn't come to be served, I came to serve. Everybody ought to be doing something. Everybody ought to be doing something. But it was my responsibility to teach these people and not to do it in a condescending way. I'm up here and you're down there and I'm good because I saw the unclean tables and you're bad because you didn't even pay attention. No, I don't know how to do it that way. So I walked it, but I do want them to get my point. How many know you can be poignant? Pastor, what did you do? So I went out there and I just wrote, you know what? On one of the tables, you know what? I am very dirty. And I said, we have guests coming and we want to make sure we are presenting ourselves the best way we can. And watch this, because let me tell you what, I don't have a lot of time to teach this. But in Richard's heart, he's born again. Getting level 3, I'll go into detail. He's born again. In his heart, people don't understand the difference. Heart, soul, spirit, they don't even know what it. Let me teach it to you. In his heart, he has a spirit. His spirit, because he's a Christian, is born again. I can't get Richard's heart any better, as his spirit any better. Why? Because the Bible says his spirit's perfect. But he's got a soul that, because he's a human and because of all bad training, is messed up to some degree. Now, Richard's, because of training, might, because of washing his mind according to the Word, might not be as, might be a lot more spiritually developed than mine or yours. But what I have to do is, if let's say he's only been saved for 3 weeks, and let's say he's got a lot of carnality to him. I know nobody can relate to this. But I need to see past his soul and speak to his spirit. Because let me tell you who he is. He is not his soul. He is his spirit. And what you have to do, and parents, listen to me with your kids. What you have to do is you have to see through their, many times, if they're born again, their soul is acting up, and you have to see through their, you have to see the spirit. And many times, all you're doing is seeing the soul. And you're speaking to the soul, and you're angry with the soul, and it's you're not, use your words to speak to the spirit. Wives, do the same thing. No, really. Husbands, do the same thing. Look at your spouse's spirit. So what am I doing? Guys, these interns are here to serve. So I don't need to go out there and berate them. I need to see what they do. So what am I doing? I'm saying, hey, guys, I know you. You want this to be a place where people come and they are welcomed here at this place. I know you. So let's get this cleaned up. You catch the difference? Here's what it's not. It's not like, whatever, dude. You know what I mean? Table's messed up, but hey, what's the big deal? You know? Just, dude, whatever. Let's not make a big deal out of some tables. No. That's not the spirit of excellence that we need to train people in. It's my sphere. I better pay attention to this. But it's not on this other side. Man, you know what? What's your problem, guys? What are you not paying attention? After I told you this place needs to be kept clean. No, 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 no. Do you understand the difference? Do you understand the difference?
Yes.
Ephesians chapter 5, starting with verse 22. Guys, follow me on this. Husbands. Okay, wait, let's stop here. Oh, 22. Wives. Okay. Who is Paul addressing? 22. Who's he addressing? Here, let me give you a clue. Ignore all this. Who's he addressing?
Wives!
Wives! Here, let me tell you what I'm insinuating. This isn't your part, husbands! I don't know why, but in this text, it's like, man, why do the husbands pay attention to this part? Husbands, I'm going to get you your part in a minute. Hello?
Amen,
I'm going to get your part. Trust me. Paul, and is this because listen, we need to be hermeneutically correct. We need to understand who Paul is talking to here. He's talking to wives. I don't know why husbands, you know, it's like this is their favorite portion of Scripture. I'm sorry. I'm going to get you your favorite part in a minute. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. As to the Lord. Yeah, but I tell you, my husband, he's a ding-dong. You know what I mean? I told him. You know what? Wives, let me clue you in here. You want to start to learn something?
Yeah.
Okay, listen. Those of you who are going to get married, says, oh, I'm not even married. Well, you're going to get married today, someday. And when you get married, you need to listen to what I'm talking to you right now. Well, you're just a man. What are you don't even listen? Oh my goodness. Listen, women. Listen, I'm not a woman, but I am your pastor. And you need to be secure enough that you can listen. Listen, this is Paul. This is inspired by every word is God-breathed. This is God speaking to you. And here's what he says. Wives, submit to your own husbands. Yeah, but my husband's a geek. He does stupid things. He continually does dumb. I know, amen? I know, I'm a husband. But here's what Paul's saying. As to the Lord. Your husband might not be perfect, but the Lord's perfect. Amen? You trust the Lord? Do you trust the Lord? Well, he put your husband in your life, amen? 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 And let me stop here just to detail it because I need to be detailed. If you're not married, it doesn't say anything about boyfriends. Oh, my goodness. Guys, say, I love my pastor. This is a practical church. You know what? Listen, he hasn't married you. He's not willing to go to the court to get the license and do all that. It's not talking. Listen, we're talking about someone who's committed to you. He might not be perfect, but that man has put a ring on your finger. He is legally married to you. If you're not legally married, this doesn't. You do not have to do this. Amen. I'm so tired of men walking around, you know what, acting like they get all the perks and, you know what, and they won't make the commitment. Enough. Amen. And I'm going to love you women, you know what, enough to tell you the truth. It's not talking about, you know what, guys who are your fiancé for 58 years. Amen. Amen. Are you learning something? You know, I talk to people, you know, oh, this is my fiance. Oh, really? How long you been dating? 23 years? I just think, oh, my goodness. You know what? Hello. Anyway, moving right along. as to the Lord. Next verse. Next verse. For the husband is head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Next verse. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands. In everything that I agree in, but there's a bunch of stuff that I don't agree, and I'm not going to do what he says in that area because he just doesn't know what he's talking about. And I got a bunch of friends that'll agree with me. Here, wow. Oh! All I'm saying is, ladies, okay, now here's the main part. Who is that written to? All wives say, wives. That's your part. Men, now this is your part. Yeah. Okay, how do you know it's your part? Because it's telling you who it is. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Next verse. Next verse. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. Next verse. That he might present to herself a glorious church, not having spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Next verse. So who? Is Paul clear? Who's this about? Husbands. So husbands ought to love their wives. Okay, and here's the click. Here's the key. Here's the key. Their own wives, thank you, okay, as their own bodies. See, we don't understand. Paul is giving us a clue to how to do this. You know what? You love. How many men love your bodies? No, you don't. You're just like, oh, that's egotistic. No. Wait a minute. You don't understand what I'm saying. When you go to Tommy's and you order your burgers with no tomatoes, some people don't like no tomatoes. You know what? When you do that tonight, well, you ain't going to do that tonight because you're going to buy food here. But whenever you do that, you order that food specifically how you order it. You know why you do that? Because you love your body. Amen? When you go home tonight and you get that pillow and you put your pillow and it's like just a little off. You're like, honey, can you hand me that other pillow? I like that other pillow better. When you do that, listen, when you do that, understand. And when she gives you that pillow, you know, understand why you took that pillow. You know why you took that pillow? Because you love your body. All the nuanced things that you do. And you probably do. You'd probably do 480 of them a day. You know who loves your body? You know, three people. Get your hands up. You love your body so much. You're so, you know what? You know, sometimes you get a little cold. Oh, and you stay in bed. Hello, come on. You love your wife like that. Make sure, you know what, she's got the right pillow. Amen? Make sure she, you know what, I go to Tommy's, and Tamara likes the peppers. She likes the peppers. You know what? She likes to eat her burger with the peppers. And they never give us enough peppers. Amen? They give you like four peppers, you know what I mean? You spend like $8 for a burger, and they can only give you four peppers. But whatever, you know what? So I always ask for extra peppers. Amen? And sometimes, you know what, I don't ask for extra peppers. No, that's not an uh-oh. That's an uh-oh like, you know what? I'm not loving her body like I love my body. Because let me tell you the difference. I never go to Tommy's and order a burger without onions. And I tell them four times. Because I hate those white onions. You know what? What's God saying to me? Here's what he's saying to me. He's saying, Drew, care about your wife's peppers like you care about your onions. Now, you say, and here's what I'm saying, man. If you'll do this, if you'll start loving your wife like you love your body, let me tell you what, it's all going to flow. And it's not this matter of, hey, You know the Bible says, men, you are responsible for your kids. But you know what the Bible says about your kids? It says, oh yeah, no wonder I'm in the wrong book. It says, children, obey your parents, for that is right of the Lord. Honor your father and mother, which is a commandment, a promise, that you might live well and long on the earth. And you fathers, see why? Because it's your responsibility. Watch this. Do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Listen to me. It's your responsibility to train up your kids, dads. But here's what the Bible says. Don't submit them to this subjection unto wrath. So, Pastor, what does that mean? Here's what it means. Be reasonable in your demands. Don't drive your kids crazy by being so controlling that you're just like unreasonable in your demands. You know what it means? It means don't have all these petty rules. Listen, here's what the Bible's teaching you, man. Man, yes, you're ultimately, yes, you're God has placed you over them. But by placing you over them, you know what? Here, go out and rent a good cowboy movie. And look how respectful those cowboys treat the women. I'm serious. It's a great example of how God is saying to treat the ladies. You know what? I used to tell Tyler this all the time. Women are gentle flowers. Treat them that way. Ma'am, I'm a cowboy. Ma'am. Watch how honoring they are. Not even looking at them directly. Because that's somebody else's wife. Ma'am? She don't belong to me. It's somebody else's wife. Ma'am? We don't act that way. We don't even understand how to do this anymore. And can I tell you what? You know, if we would act like this. Here, let me help you. You know, ain't no woman like the one I love. Kiss the ground she walks on. To make her happy, don't take a lot. She don't ask for things, no diamond ring. See, but if we would treat our women, if we would treat our wife with the honor and respect, then the whole thing changes. Are you responsible? Do you have responsibility to your wife, to your kids? Others of you, do you have responsibility at work? Do you have, ladies, single women, single parents, do you have responsibility for kids? Yes. Okay, then let's understand our responsibility and understand how God wants us to act towards these people. It's not like this. That doesn't mean that I don't have responsibility over the worship team. Pastor, what are you over? I'm over the worship team. I'm over the kids. I'm over the youth. Ultimately, I'm going to be held accountable to all of it. But I can train people on how to have something with excellence and not do it condescending. I can do it with grace and gracious. And I can do it being very stern even. All right, did you learn something?
Yeah.
More than just learn. Here's my question. Do you hear what God is speaking to us tonight? Can you hear the flavor? You know what I mean? Were you taught something? But more importantly, can you catch what God is saying to us? Be gracious to people. That doesn't mean they just walk all over you. But this controlling wackiness, that stems from our insecurity, man, we got to let it go. Our security needs to be in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. We need ultimately put your trust in him. Put your family in his eyes, in his arms. Put your kids in his arms. Put your, you know what, man? Well, yeah, like, let me ask you, how's that going for you? You know, you're, hey, woman, get over here. Yeah, how's that working, guys? Don't you know the word? You know, the word says what the pastor said last night, in everything. Well, you didn't hear what pastor said, because that wasn't even your part. Hello?
Hello?
Amen. Let's play our part. And ladies, you play your part. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. I pray that tonight, that even the toughness that your word is, Father, we receive it because we know this is releasing to us. This will free us. I pray that we would be free from this crazy controlling spirit that has caused us just to just not be who we really are. Help us, God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.